Chapter 10. Pepper pulled Nori aside first thing the next morning, before Nori made it up the steps to Dunwiddle's wide front entrance.
"Can I talk to you?"
Pepper asked.
"You kicked us out of your house," Nori said.
"I was upset. It hurt my feelings. You hurt my feelings."
Nori's eyebrows flew up.
"I did?"
Pepper pulled Nori away from the throng of arriving students.
"Well, you and Elliot, you guys were so mean to Zinnia, like really mean."
"Yeah," Nori said reluctantly. "But everything Elliot said was true. He was friends with all of them before. Lacey, Rune, Zinnia. They were his best buddies until everyone's magic came in. They were so mean about his freezing. Evil, even. That's how this whole trouble with the Sparkies started."
"Don't you think it was mostly Lacey who gave him a hard time, though?"
Pepper said.
"She wasn't working alone," Nori pointed out. "Not ever." "I told you Zinnia and Lacey had a fight," said Pepper. "But what I didn't tell you was that Zinnia apologized to me last week, and we've been hanging out after school."
Nori was surprised.
"I know you think Zinnia is a spy," Pepper said, "and that would mean she's only been pretending to be my friend."
She looked at the ground.
"But I can't believe that's true. I really don't believe it's true."
Nori replayed what she'd heard yesterday at Pepper's house. "You two have been going to the playground together?"
"With Taffy and Violet,"
Pepper squared her shoulders.
"Zinnia's fun, Nori, and she's really a good big sister. And she did say sorry. And when I heard Zinnia standing up to Lacey, that was real. Neither of them could have known I was there."
Nori furrowed her brow. "You want me to like Zinnia now?" Pepper nodded. Nori felt uncomfortable.
"After everything she's done, it's not like she apologized to me."
"Will you think about it?"
Pepper asked. Nori sighed.
"All right, I'll think about it."
The UDM class had poetry study, and math, and history. Then they had an upside-down magic lesson with more foot painting and more time to clean up. Then they all had a fairly boring discussion of grounding magic and the connections between magic and art. After that, silent reading and a science lesson about dragon biology. It wasn't until nearly the end of the day that Ms. Starr said they could talk about the show-off. They all sat in a circle on the carpet. Willa raised her hand.
"I have an idea."
"Let's hear it," said Ms. Starr.
"I can make it rain in small areas now," said Willa. "It doesn't always have to fill the room. So we can do Nori's rain boot dance."
"What part of no dancing doesn't she understand?"
Bax wondered aloud.
"Please, Bax. Willa, would you like to show us?" said Ms. Starr. "We'll all be thrilled to see how your control of your talent is developing."
Willa shut her eyes. She breathed deeply. And then it rained. Only on Bax. Bax panicked and immediately fluxed into a swivel chair.
"Whoa, dude,"
Elliot said.
"That's what he's been working on in tutoring," Nori said.
Swivel Bax began to spin. He zoomed around the room on his wheels. Willa's rain followed him.
"I can't make it stop," Willa cried.
Swivel Bax banged into Elliot, who jumped in surprise and froze all the water on the floor and on the swivel chair. Now there was a pathway of ice where Swivel Bax had moved, and Swivel Bax was spinning so fast it made Nori dizzy. She stumbled over to grab him and whoop! She slipped on the ice and crashed to the floor. Willa finally stopped raining. Swivel Bax kept spinning.
"Hands in pockets! Hands in pockets!"
Ms. Starr cried out. Elliot shoved his hands in his pockets to prevent them from icing anything else. Marigold had her hands in her pockets, too. It was a technique Ms. Starr had taught them for preventing magical accidents. Nori tried to get up, but her feet skidded on the ice and flimp! She was a bitten, part beaver, part kitten. It was an animal she changed into fairly often when angry or embarrassed.
bitten Nori still wanted to help Swivel Bax. So she leapt up at him and landed smack on the seat of the chair, sending him twirling and skidding across the ice until they both bumped against the wall and stopped short. There was silence for a moment. Nori flipped back into girl form. Bax remained a swivel chair.
Nori, what did I tell you all last week? Asked Ms. Star.
That friends should not ride friends. Then she burst out laughing. It was nearly half an hour before Bax got back from the nurse's office, where he had turned back into a boy. Willa apologized to Bax. Only then were they able to hold a productive class meeting. Nori raised her hand right away, eager to talk about the show-off before the school day ended.
I think we should be a band, she said. Elliot plays the guitar, Bax plays the piano. Right, Bax?
I take lessons, Bax admitted. That doesn't mean I'm any good.
I play the drums, Andres volunteered.
Marigold bounced in her seat.
I play the clarinet. That's totally enough instruments for a band.
Bax looked at her. You play an instrument?
Yes.
It's just, you know.
He gestured vaguely at Marigold's hearing aid.
Hearing-impaired people can totally play instruments, said Marigold. It's just that some instruments are easier than others.
Oh, sorry.
A band? Sebastian said slowly. We wouldn't have to use our magic at all.
He cocked his head.
But not all of us play something. What would the rest of us do?
Pepper's a drummer like Andres, just not with a drum, said Nori. She does, like, body drumming. She's really good.
Elliot nodded and Nori grinned.
They liked her idea. And so many of them could play and sing.
I can't be in the show. I'd fierce the Fluxers, Pepper said.
We can figure something out, said Elliot. If we do a band, we'll have to. We'd need you.
Pepper shook her head.
There'll be Fluxers at the show-off, and regular animals, too, for the fuzzies. So no and no.
Pepper lifted her chin and pressed her lips into a hard line. Nori wondered, was Pepper mad at Elliot about the Zinnia thing? Or was she truly scared to be in the show-off?
You should still think about it, Elliot said to Pepper.
You're really amazing.
He turned to Willa.
And you could make it rain in a tiny area again and have the rain make a pitter-patter sound.
What if I sing?
Willa said.
I can definitely sing. I was in chorus at my ordinary school.
We still need that extra something, though, Elliot said.
He snapped his fingers.
Nori! Of course, you can flux into something really unusual.
I don't know, Nori said.
Like a dritten, said Elliot. I know you've been practicing your dritten. What does a dritten have to do with a band?
Bax asked.
She could shake the tambourine in her dritten mouth. She would breathe fire on the tambourine. She could breathe fire on the whole school, Bax said.
He saw Dritten Nori regularly in tutoring with Coach. She couldn't always hold on to her human mind.
No Dritten, Ms. Star interjected.
No unusual fluxing, Nori said. I'll just sing.
She gave the group a thumbs up. The group paused politely for about half a second.
Oh, I know, Marigold said. She could turn into a flamingo.
She turned to Nori.
You could turn into a beautiful pink flamingo. And you could hold a tambourine in your beak.
Yeah, that would count as something special, Elliot said. I like it.
I don't do flamingo, Nori said. You have to study hard for animals with unusual shapes, and birds aren't easy.
Or a flamingo kitten, said Marigold.
A flamitten.
Or you could say katingo, Sebastian said thoughtfully. Same thing, but sounds better.
No,
Nori said loudly. She was not going to become a dritten or a katingo or any sort of mixed-up animal at all. Not in front of father.
No way, no how.
or as Pepper put it, no and no.
Why not? Elliot asked. As long as you keep your human mind, it would really make our band stand out.
Nori didn't want to explain about her family and how they wanted to see only typical fluxing from her. Everyone else in UDM had families who seemed to accept them for who they were.
Nori?
Elliot pressed. The answer came to her, and she exhaled with relief.
Because of Pepper. Pepper, remember?
But Pepper might not be able to be in the show off at all, which is why we moved on to you, said Andres.
Pepper's too important, said Nori. Because seriously, you guys, you haven't seen what she can do. She's like genius level good, right, Elliot?
Elliot didn't deny it.
But Pepper can only perform if there aren't any animals around, so it's better if I sing.
No,
everyone said at once.
Why not? I love singing.
Yes, Pepper said, but just because you love singing doesn't mean...
She broke off, looking embarrassed.
I'll practice a ton, Nori said. I know all the words already.
I think what Elliot and Pepper and the others are trying to say is that Willow was in the chorus at her ordinary school, and the kids who play instruments have all taken music lessons, Ms. Starr said gently. So maybe, if our class does a band, it would make sense to give the people who have been practicing a chance to shine.
Oh, Nori said.
She understood, but her heart sank, because she was back to where she'd started. What was she going to do for the show-off? At recess the next day, Zinnia sat alone at the top of the climbing structure, far away from Lacey, Rune, and the other Sparkies. Pepper noticed her right away. She wanted to go say sorry about the way Elliot had yelled and the way Nori had called her a spy and the way she, Pepper, hadn't explained about them being friends. But Elliot and Nori had been so nice about the band yesterday. They had both said they needed her. So Pepper was torn. She knew Elliot would feel she was disloyal if she befriended Zinnia. It was too much to stand outside looking at Zinnia all alone. So Pepper went inside early and retreated to the supply closet. There she waited for Ms. Starr to meet her for tutoring, which started when recess was over. She had saved some broccoli from her lunch for Carrot. Eventually, Ms. Starr came in and set Carrot's box on the floor.
I have a funny request for you, Pepper.
What is it?
I have a friend, an older lady. Ms. Starr sat down and took off her bright orange cardigan. She is having a problem with mice. Rather than call an exterminator, I was thinking you might help her out. You'd scare them away, but you wouldn't hurt the mice, which an exterminator would. She'd pay you, of course. And it's just over on Oregano Street. I've talked to your father, and he's on board. He thought you might like to earn some money with your talent. Maybe Saturday or Sunday, 2 o'clock? Ms. Starr prompted.
Saturday's the day we practice for the show-off, said Pepper.
Are you going to join the show?
I want to, Pepper said, if we can figure out the fiercing.
Here's an idea. Why don't you just wait in the classroom until it's time for your act? Ms. Starr said. If UDM is the last act in the entire show, all fluxers should be in human form, and all animals return to the fuzzy room by the time you come to the auditorium. You'll miss watching the other acts, but I think you could safely perform.
Really?
I'll talk to Principal Gonzalez about shifting the schedule to make that happen.
Thanks, Pepper said.
For a moment, she was super excited, but then she remembered.
Nori.
But what if Nori wants to flux during the song?
She knew how anxious Nori was about her dad coming to the show-off. She wanted her friend to have the chance to flux if she wanted to.
If I'm in the band, Nori won't have the option.
Carrot bounded out of the box.
We have an idea for you, Pepper, the bunny shouted. It's an idea for pausing your magic.
Ms. Starr nodded.
It's true. If you can pause your magic for the length of the song, then Nori can flux if she wants to.
I did some research and called a couple of experts. Carrot told me that after you scared her on purpose,
You seem to pull your magic back in. Is that true? Pepper nodded.
I didn't turn it off. I just stopped pushing it out.
So, let's think of your magic like a river. You were able to make it gush out in a big wave, and then you slowed the flow back again, right?
Yes, said Pepper. I think so.
But it was still flowing, put in Carrot. It's always still there. The professor I spoke to yesterday said that for magic that doesn't turn on and off naturally, like yours and Sebastian's, thinking of it like a river can be very useful, said Ms. Starr. You won't ever stop a river from flowing, but you can imagine pinching its sides closed for just a minute or two, right? Like a temporary dam.
I guess I can imagine that, said Pepper.
Ooh, is that broccoli? Said Carrot, twitching her nose. Is that broccoli in your pocket? Pepper took the broccoli out of her dress pocket. The rabbit gobbled it up. When Carrot was done, she said, Okay, let's try it.
Try what? Asked Pepper.
Try pinching your river of magic closed for a second, said Ms. Starr. Just a quick pinch. Carrot will be able to feel it if it stops or lessens. Pepper tried pinching. Nothing yet, said Carrot. Concentrate, Pepper. Feel the flow of the river of magic inside you, said Ms. Starr. It should feel like the tickle of your feet when you're foot painting, or the tickle of air when you're nostril breathing, or the rhythm when you're hula hooping. Pepper nostril breathed. She felt the magic, the river of the magic. Now, can you pinch the sides of it closed? Ms. Starr asked gently. Pepper closed her eyes and pinched. The river stopped flowing. It stopped, and then right away it hurt. The water was building up against the dam. It hurt, and then the magic exploded out in a rush, breaking through the pinch. Pepper opened her eyes to find Carrot hiding behind the cat litter again.
Oh, you got me good that time, said the bunny, laughing as she climbed back out. I almost upchucked my broccoli.
Did I pause my magic? Pepper asked.
You did, said Carrot. Eloise, I think it paused for about 4 seconds before it rushed out and scared me. Did it seem like 4 seconds to you?
4 seconds, Ms. Starr agreed.
Beautiful work, Pepper. Can we go back to the cafeteria? Said Carrot. I want to see what else is in that salad bar.